John chapter 14. We're continuing our series of the great I Am's of Jesus Christ, statements Christ made where He declares that He is God come in the flesh. And I think of these, this is probably one that is most well known. So John chapter 14. And we understand in the narrative that this is in a period of time between when they had the Passover meal, He instituted the Last Supper, that they've arisen from the supper. They're actually on their way walking through Jerusalem, out of the city, up to the Mount of Olives. He's going to go pray at the Garden of Gethsemane, and then He's going to be taken by the mob led by Judas. And so, as He's walking, He's talking with the disciples. He's teaching them many things, that He knows that His time with them is short, and so He's trying to share with them as much as possible. And we understand that the disciples, and we're a lot like them sometimes, where He was explaining them a lot, but they weren't understanding a whole lot. That he said to them, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. And we realize even with what He said in those chapters that they didn't really get it at the time, but later on it made more sense to them. It reminds me of my son Garrison. Sometimes I'll explain something to him or say something, and then I'll ask, well, are you listening? Do you understand? And he'll nod his head, and then I'll ask, well, can you say what I just said? And he's like, no, I can't. And it's kind of the way we are sometimes, that we don't want to look like we're not understanding it, but often it's obvious that we haven't quite got it. And we see that with the disciples, and we wonder, well, why are they not getting it? But we understand that in terms of spiritual things, that we often are have a hard time comprehending them as well. And so we begin reading in John 14 and verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your word. We thank you for your Son, who he is, and what he has provided for us, Lord, through his death, burial, and resurrection. We just pray that we would know him as the way, the truth, and the life in our lives, Lord, even as Christians, Lord. We accepted him as for salvation, but then throughout the rest of our walk with you, Lord, that we would acknowledge him as such and be changed forever by it. Lord, we just pray that you would bless us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as we look at this understanding that he's saying, whither I go, ye know, that he was speaking of heaven, and he said, the way that you know. And of course, Thomas said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand. I don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And so he speaks, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we see there's several things that we recognize quite quickly with what he has said. First of all, that it's very exclusive what he is saying. He isn't saying, I am a way, I am a truth, I'm a way of life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That we live today where we're told that there's many ways to God, that it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it, even to the point where you may call God by different names, whether Buddha or Allah or other things, but as long as you're sincere, then you're okay. You don't have to worry. We can find our own way and God will just kind of accept that as being okay. We're also told that there's no such thing as absolute truth, that truth is whatever we make it, that we want to just kind of, whatever works for us, whatever fits the best, then we can accept that and we can live our life in that way, and we'll be happy in that respect. We're also told there are numerous ways to find satisfaction and enjoyment and fulfillment in life. There's countless alternative lifestyles that a person can pursue after, and they'll all provide happiness, we're told. But we recognize that is not what the Bible says at all. We recognize that such statements are lies of the devil that are given to condemn men to an eternity in the fires of hell. We understand from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We see Jesus himself spoke in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13, he says, "Enter ye in," this is Matthew 7:13, "enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." That we recognize, when we say that it's exclusive, we realize that it doesn't mean that it is not open for everyone. It is still whosoever will. It is available to all. But there is only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one truth, and it is Him. We see this in John 3 and verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That we recognize that salvation is through Him and through Him alone. We understand that the grace of God, it speaks of that it's unto all, but it is upon all them that believe, that it is through faith in Christ that we have eternal life. And we recognize, secondly, that the way, the truth, and the life, that it is found in a specific person. It is found in Jesus. It's not found in any specific church. It's not found in any specific religious ritual or practice. It's not found in any actions or good deeds. It's found in Him. We understand that it is not in ourselves. It says in Acts 4, verse 12, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That we recognize that if we don't meet this person, Jesus Christ, if we don't enter into a relationship with Him through repentance and faith, we will search forever to try to find our way. We will search forever for the truth. We will search forever for the meaning of life, for a purpose of life, for a life that fulfills, and we will never find it. That we have to come to Him. And we recognize, thirdly, that if we, this thought where he says, no one, at the end of there, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That we think, well, do I want to get to heaven? Do I want to see the Father's face? We recognize that every person on the face of the earth must come through the Lord Jesus Christ. You might think, well, I believe in God. It says in James 19, "Thou believest in God, thou doest well. The devils also believe, and they tremble." That he says at the beginning of John 14, he says, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." That if a person doesn't come through Christ, then they cannot come to the Father. That it's the thought we read in Revelation of how it describes the holy city, heavenly Jerusalem, how it has 12 gates. But we realize that each gate has the same key, that there is only one way into heaven, and that's through Jesus. If we have Jesus, we recognize that we can pass in and be within the presence of the Lord forever. But if we do not have Him, the gates are barred and locked, and we have no right to claim a place within the walls. And we can think of that, that someone could come in the end and come before God and say, well, I believe in you. I have a right to be in heaven. I've been a good person. And God the Father will say, well, have you come through my Son? Have you accepted him as Savior? And if they said, well, no, I haven't. I don't didn't think that was necessary. He would say, well, you can't see my face unless you've gone through my Son. And we think of that testimony given in Matthew chapter 7. The Lord speaks of the time of the end. Matthew 7 and verse 21, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And we understand that through the Scriptures it is given very plain, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life, that the wrath of God abideth upon him. And so we see that he is making it clear to them and to all that read this passage ever since that he is the only way to the Father, that there is no other way possible. And so we want to examine that briefly, that he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, what each of those mean. He says, I am the way. He is the path to follow. He gives access. We understand first to heaven, eternal life through Jesus Christ, and then we understand as well access to the Father. That he is the only way of salvation for every person on the face of this earth. And we also understand that it is upon the basis of what he accomplished through his death and resurrection that we are enabled to have access to the Father. That throughout the Old Testament time with the temple, that there was always that access was barred. That you could only come a certain way, and if you came further than what you were allowed to, you would be struck down. That they had kind of the border around the temple, and they had a place where the Levites and those could come, and then they had the holy place that only the priests were allowed to minister therein. And then there was the Holy of Holies, that only the high priest could enter there, and only once a year, and he had to have a blood sacrifice. And on the bottom of his garments, the hem of his garments, he had bells and pomegranates all the way around the hem. And it was so that he could, as he moved, that he could, he would make noise as he did what he was supposed to do in the service of the Lord. And if the sound of the rattling and the tinkling stopped, it's actually from the understanding is that they tied a rope to his leg, and so if the sound stopped, they knew that God had struck him down, and they'd have to drag him out. That was how serious it was. That God was a holy God. That we were sinners. We had no right to come before him. The thought that if someone was to see the face of God that they would be dead immediately. But yet, through what Jesus Christ has done, that we have access to the Father. It speaks of that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. That we understand that now, because we are saved, because our sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ, that we have access, that we can call the God of heaven and earth our heavenly Father. It says, Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That is something that in the Christian life that we realize that we don't have to fight and struggle in our own strength, but that we can go to the throne of grace boldly to find grace and help in time of need. That it speaks in Ephesians 2 in verse 18, for through him we both Jew and Gentile have access by one Spirit unto the Father, and that we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, that we don't need to be ashamed, we don't need to think that He won't listen to us, He won't meet us in our needs, that He'll cast us out as being vile, that when we're in Christ Jesus, that we're accepted in the Beloved. And He is the only way in which we have that. And we realize that He is the way. We understand through the Scriptures with the disciples that always something that He would repeat to them again and again is follow Me. And we understand that He has given us an example that we should follow in His steps. So our purpose as believers, once we're saved, is to be conformed to His image. And so in that sense as well, He is the way. That we wonder, well, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to act? What am I supposed to do in this situation? That we can understand, well, what did Jesus do? How did He respond? And I need to do the same thing. So we understand that He is, throughout our Christian life, He is the way to salvation from the beginning. He is the way to the Father to get access to the grace we need to live the Christian life. And He is the way that He guides us and shows us the path that we are to take in our lives so that we will be pleasing to Him. So then secondly, we see Him to be the truth. And it makes sense. He said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. That we understand that if the written word of God is absolute truth from cover to cover, it stands to reason that the living word of God would be truth as well. And it's interesting and rather ironic in John chapter 18, when Jesus was standing before Pilate, giving an account, trying to explain things, that of course Jesus really didn't give him much of what he wanted, but he showed him what he needed to hear. We see John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. And it's very ironic that Pilate is saying, well, what is truth? And here truth incarnate was standing right in front of him. That Jesus spoke in John chapter 8, in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, John 8:31, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we understand that when we know the Lord Jesus, that He makes us free from the penalty of sin, free from even the power of sin in our daily life as believers. That we understand, verse 36, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that's the truth that we understand, that the truth liberates when we know what is real. It gives us freedom. I remember reading a story of soldier. He was an officer. He was taken captive by the Japanese during the Second World War, and they were in this prisoner of war camp that was on this island, and it ended up what had happened is that the war was over, that Japan had decided to surrender after the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but on this island, because it was so remote, that they didn't tell any of the prisoners that they had won, that they still kept them in this camp, that they were still in prison, that they were still suffering at their hands. But then one day a ship came by, or a pilot, I can't remember which one it was, and was able to inform some of the prisoners on the island, including this officer, that the war was over, that they'd won. And so he immediately marched to the commander of the camp, and he said, well, my commanding officer has conquered your commanding officer. I'm taking command of this camp. And the commanding officer of the Japanese, knowing that was the truth, that he turned over command of the camp to him. And that's the thought that we have in many ways, that so often in our Christian life we struggle with different things. The devil tells us different lies, that we can't have victory, we're always going to struggle with something, that we just have to, we can't really enjoy life, we just sort of have to survive. That we understand as we look in the Scriptures, we understand the truth when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We know the truth and it makes us free. We realize that sin doesn't have to have dominion over us anymore, that we can be made free from it. And so knowing the truth, knowing this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the truth is in Him, and that we follow Him, we do what He commands of us, and we find that we never have to worry about a contradiction or being ashamed, that we put our trust in Him and then we found that it wasn't worthy of it. That whatever He says, that we can trust it absolutely, and He will see us through, and there will be no cause for confusion or disappointment. So then we see also that He says, I am the life. And we understand that eternal, abundant life is found in Him alone. John 1:4 says, in Him was life, and the light was His life was the light of men. That there's so many things in this world that fall short, that promise to have fulfillment, promise to have satisfaction, but all of those fall short. That a person can pursue after fame and fortune and find at the end that it's not satisfying. It speaks in the Bible that someone that lives in pleasure, even though they think that they would find happiness, it says that they're dead while they live. That it is empty. It's vain. And that's what happens. It's kind of the thought that these things that a person pursues them, they seem to be so wonderful, they'll just open up such happiness to their life. But then it might be good for a while, but then the world just kind of closes in upon them. It becomes dark. It becomes empty. And a person so often is caught into a trap that they can't get out of. But yet we understand with the Lord Jesus, He said that I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That the more we seek Him, the more joyful our life becomes. That it's kind of the thought that we can be in a tight place, but we can understand that He puts us in a large place, that He broadens our horizons, broadens our life, allows us to experience joys and blessings we never thought possible before. That He is the life. He gives us eternal life so that we would never perish, and He gives us the life on earth right now, that it can be abundant, it can be much better than we ever thought it was possible. And so we recognize Him in that way, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. That there is no one like Him that has ever lived. He is the only Savior this world will ever know. And that all men, no matter where they are on the earth, no matter what their background, they must come through Him. And that He is the source of joy, of happiness, and of eternal life. And so it is, as we understand who He is, that we recognize that if we haven't come through Him, if we haven't trusted in Him as Savior, if we've tried to come in some other way, that it is time that we turn to Him and recognize Him for who He is. And then as a Christian, it's something that we, if we've believed in Him, that we understand that our salvation is just really the start of our life with Him. And we understand that He is the way, that He is the one we're to follow. He gives us the path that we're to pursue. He is the means of our freedom. With whatever struggle, with whatever bondage we might find in our life, that He can give us that freedom. And we recognize Him that He is the source of abundant life. That if things are not going well, things that are just struggling and seeming to close in upon us, that He can fix it. He can give us joy even in the midst of difficulty. He can give us courage in the midst of a fearful situation. And so may each of us once again remember that He is the way, the truth, and the life. That we would value Him for who He is. That we would spend time getting to know Him, being with Him, so that He can transform us and make us into His image. Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, we just thank You once again for Your Word. We thank You for Your Son. We just pray, Lord, You would work in our hearts, Lord. Help us to value You and put You and Your Son in the place in our lives that You deserve, that we would follow after You, that we would make good of what He has done for us, Lord, on the cross and rising from the tomb, that we might have access unto You, Father, and receive the grace that we need to live each day, Lord, and bring honor to You. We just pray that You would bless each one here, Lord, and work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand once more, and we'll turn to one more hymn, number 125. Hymn 125, Jesus Paid It All. On the first. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Amen. Brother Paul, could you please dismiss us in prayer and ask a blessing on the food downstairs? Amen. You're dismissed.